Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. You know, there's been a lot of people over the years that has said that same thing, thought they were saved. I remember Sister Dayton's testimony. She said for years she thought she had been saved. And then the Lord got a hold of her. In her elder years. That's amazing. That's amazing. Because a lot of times people, the older they get, the harder they get. The more prideful they get, the more stubborn they get. And, you know, it's harder for the Lord to reach them. They'll sit there and waller that thing out in the pew, and the devil will convince them they don't need to go. What will people think? That's what he says. What will people think? I don't care what anybody thought.
Amen.
It's not their salvation.
Yes, sir.
It's my salvation. It's not their soul going to hell. It's my soul going to hell. I don't care what anybody thinks. That's what a lost person ought to be thinking. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm the one God's dealing with right now. I need to do something. Amen. So always remember that. And listen, if the Lord speaks to your heart, I've often said this. Listen, I believe with everything that's within me, I'm saved. That I've been born again. I had an experience with the Lord, and I depend on. And my call to preach seemed like it was even stronger. My assurance that God gave me in my call to preach, I said, God, I'll never doubt this, and I never have. But if the God of heaven, are you listening to me, grabbed hold of my soul and started shaking me and telling me that I'd missed it along the way, I'd forget all about this ministry and I'd get born again. Being born again is the most important thing you can ever do. And that's just how important that it is. Not to hold on to, you know, what you may think, but I believe. And our faith, listen, we're saved by grace through faith. And the devil will even try to take saved people and shake them up, shake their faith. God wants us to believe. And there's a difference in the devil fooling with your mind and God dealing with your heart. There's a big difference. Because the devil, he'll fool with your mind a lot, try to cause you to doubt. And as a child of God, you're never going to go much anywhere. He wants you to believe. But if God deals with the heart, then that's another story. You need to do something about that. In the book of St. Luke, chapter 14, the book of St. Luke, chapter 14, there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to build it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage or an embassy. That's what that is. And desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I want to talk to you about this thought. A follower every day. A follower every day. When the Lord said here, a person, if he, any man, come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, a disciple is a learner. Someone who learns of another. Someone who is taught of another. But it's deeper than that. It's a follower that is a learner. And the Lord said that a couple of times. You know, if you don't do these things, you cannot be my disciple. My disciple. When we think about being a disciple, a follower of Christ, a learner of Christ, I will say this, it costs something. Now, salvation is free. It doesn't cost you and I one thing. Salvation is paid for by Jesus Christ. I mean, He's paid it all. Amen. There's absolutely nothing that you and I can do to pay for any part of salvation. Salvation of the soul is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said this. He said, come unto me. Here he said, come to me. If any man come to me. But then he said in a couple of places, come after me. That's to follow after him. To come unto the Lord is to be saved. To come to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now, here's what Jesus said in another place. He said, he told us to come to him, and he said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's discipleship. He said plainly, come and learn of me. Be my learner. Be my disciple, is what he was saying. So we come after the Lord. We're going to follow after him. As David said in Psalms, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. I mean, to pant after him, to come after him, to have a strong desire to learn of him, to be his disciple. We're not seeing as much of that in this hour as they were 50, 75 years ago.
It's been dwindling down more and more and more. I mean, to find people that really want to be a learner of Christ, that really want to know Him, to follow after Him. To follow after Him is to follow after His Word. It is tied in together. To come after Him and to follow after Him is to follow after His Word. To follow His will. Now again, discipleship costs something. It costs to serve. Jesus must come, listen, before everything else and everybody else. Look what the Lord said here. There went great multitudes with Him. I mean, there's a lot of people. And He turned and said unto them, if any man, any one of them, that being all of that great multitude, come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Did you just read that? What, just like what I read? If any man come to Me and hate not these, he cannot be My disciple. Now, what did he mean by that? He's not advocating for us to hate people. He's talking about us loving them less than we love Him. Because God loves people. Amen. He doesn't hate people. And the Lord's a friend of sinners. Amen. And He wants us to be a friend of sinners, doesn't He? That's exactly right. But to love anybody more than we love the Lord, we can't be His disciple. Cannot be My disciple, My learner. Now, I'm going to go on a limb and say this. And don't get confused now, because I've got a lot to say about this message. You might be saved, but you're not going to be a disciple. But if you live like this and you're saved, if you don't love Him first, you're not going to live very long. Let me say it that way. God is not going to have somebody that's one of His children that doesn't love Him more than they love everybody else. I mean, the Bible's clear about us loving the Lord, our God. Amen? He's a jealous God, isn't He? Oprah Winfrey said, I don't want to have anything to do with a God that's a jealous God. Well, that let me know she doesn't know our God. She doesn't know the God of the Bible. She's got some fairy tale made up God. Amen. A lot of them, that's what they have. They have some fairy tale made up God that is totally contrary to this book right here. Amen. In all of their ways that they say their God is contrary to that Bible right there. But our God, listen, the God that we come to, the God that saves, the Creator of the universe, amen, the One that made man in His own image, that put the breath of life in you, He deserves to be loved first. And He demands to be loved first. If you're going to be His disciple, you're going to be His learner. Amen? These great multitudes, they followed Him. Many followed Him for the food. Many followed Him for the miracles. Few followed Him because they loved Him more. Few followed Him because they loved Him more. Our relationship to the Lord, our love for Him. Listen, it's a dangerous thing to get away from, because That's what happened to the church in Revelations that left their first love. That first love is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? And loving your neighbor as yourself. That's the second. But to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, that's first. We leave our first love. Listen, our Christian life is not going to be enjoyable if we don't love God the way we should. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to experience joy and peace. Amen. And that, and the great blessings if your love for God is not exactly where it needs to be. Amen. I mean, we get cold. We begin to not feel toward the things of God like we used to feel. We don't feel toward the church like we used to, or toward His Word like we used to, or even taking time with Him in prayer like we used to. Our love begins to wax dim and to get cold. But now, I'm talking about being a follower every day. The discipleship cost. And Jesus must become before our personal relationships. You can't serve both. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father, do you love your father more than the heavenly father? And mother, do you love your mother more than you love the heavenly father? And children, here's the getter to most people. Children, do you love your children more than you love the heavenly father? And brethren and sisters, yea, here's a biggie, his own life also. Me and what I want. What I want. What I need. Do I love God less than myself? And our works. Listen, they do show. They do show. Amen. And just how much we love God, or we love ourselves or our family. Listen, people, they don't want to offend family that comes in, but they'll offend God. People have family come. Listen, I have family come and see us. But you know what we do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? And if it's revival week, you know what we're doing on Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? We're going to the house of God. And if they don't want to come with us, they can stay there at the house. We'll be back. But God comes first. Hey, they need to see in your life and my life that God comes first. Amen? That they're not loved more than we love God. Oh, yes, we love them. We love them warm eye. We love them very much. We love them with great heaviness. We want them to be saved, and we want them to know God. But if they don't, I'm going to go with God anyway. I love God. I love His Son more than I love anyone else. God should be first. God always first. They need to see that. They need to see you putting God ahead of them, not putting them ahead of God. Too many times people put family above God. You cannot be my disciple. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. Jesus just now said this. If you love your family more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. He demands us love Him more. He commands that we love Him more. He told that rich young ruler, said, follow me. Well, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told, oh, I've done all this. Well, Get rid of all that you love and follow me. Love me more than you love that. And that young man went away sorrowful. You know why? Because he loved that more than he loved the Lord. Amen. Lord, have mercy. We need to think about where we are as his disciples in this generation, in this day. The world needs to see salt like this. They need to see light shining like this. People who has put the Lord first in their life. Amen. That really shows the love of God. Listen, if we do love God, listen, you're not going to find people that love their family more. If we really do love God, you're not going to find people that love sinners anymore. Amen. We need to be a friend of sinners. Now, I've often said, you cannot start getting into an association with sinners to the place they're changing your life. In other words, you're going to their dives and you're looking like them and, you know, doing the things of the world that they like to do. But to be their friend and to love them and to show Christ to them, to really show them the love of God, you and I are commanded to do that. Amen. Commanded to love sinners. Amen. Oh, that woman, she don't dress just exactly the way that, you know, we do. Or that man, he doesn't have the standards. That's because they're lost. Amen. We need to love them anyway. Amen. Love them. Don't change. Love them. Show them what God has done for you. Show them the Christ in your life. Show them that God is first in your life. Amen. You're not a mere religionist, but you are somebody that's been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. You've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside. Hey, the power of God works in your life. People need to see that. Sinners need to see that. They want that. Amen. That's what they're starving for. Right now they're reaching for things that are just perverted. Why? Trying to find something that they think would satisfy. Trying to fit in with everybody else. Lord, have mercy. Discipleship cost. Jesus must come before our personal relationships. Even your own life. You got to take self off the throne of your heart. That's what a lot of people, they don't want to do that. Man, if they're upset at somebody, you're going to be able to tell they're upset. Listen, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you're commanded to be a Christian 24/7. Regardless of how people treat you, amen, you got to show love. You're supposed to do right always. Do right always. Amen? Do right always. Take up your cross, Jesus said. You take it up freely. Amen. He said, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse number 27. To bear your cross, that means to carry it, to endure with it. That means every day. To bear means you have it daily. To bear it. It's there. It's always there. That thing, what is that cross that you and I bear? Well, a cross is simply an instrument of death. An instrument of self-denial. Amen. You and I must take up our cross daily. That which causes you and I to deny this flesh and this self and love God first. Amen. Oh, yes. Prefer God and His Son above all others. They ask Him in Matthew 22. They come trying to trick Him. They said, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. To love Him. That's that wholehearted love. That's what that love is. With all thy heart. To love the Lord with all thy heart. That's wholehearted love. He just says it a different way. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You can say wholehearted love. It's wholehearted love. Your heart, that's your thoughts and your feelings. A lot of times a person can act right on the outside, but maybe they're feeling bitter toward God. No, keep that heart in tune. Keep that heart loving God. He's not to blame. Oh, no. Amen. With all thy soul. That's the very inner man. That's our very breath. That's our very life. Amen. With all of the breath in me, all of the life in me, the very inner man, to love God with all of that. With all thy mind. That's the deep thought. That's the imagination. See, nobody can go there. You can be standing here looking at somebody and you think maybe they got their mind on God. Maybe their imagination is somewhere it shouldn't be. The Bible talked about the last days, about evil imaginations. A person, listen, if you're going to love God, he needs to own the imagination. The mind, the very mind, the deep thought, your understanding. Amen? To love Him with heart, soul, mind, all of it. Amen? Oh, yes. In Luke 14 here, He tells us, if you hate not His Father, love less His own life, His own soul, His own inner being, His own heart's desire, cannot be my disciple, my learner. Bear your cross. Follow me. Follow Him always. Verse 27, listen, not just at the beginning, but daily, throughout life, like here's what He said. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He said that after verse 26. Now, let me ask you something. Let me give you a picture of what is happening today by using yesterday. The Jews went to the temple on Sabbath. Many of them dressed the way they were supposed to be. Many of them not there for what they were supposed to be there for. Many of them claiming God was their God. They were children of Abraham. But when Jesus saw them, Jesus saw their lives. And now, mind you, they were Israelites, Jews. Circumcised. Jesus saw a lot of them that were of the devil. Lost. Why? Because they were not true Mary and Joseph learners of God. See, there were some people in Israel that truly, truly feared God and truly loved God and truly looked for the Messiah and loved God's Word. And they lived it daily from their heart. From their heart. Amen. John the Baptist's mother and father. They were two others. And I'm certain that there were many others that they ran into. But a big majority, they were just religious. They were just religious. Their heart, their daily following the deeds and the commands of God. I mean, Jesus even told them, said, you hold these things of the law against people, and these things that are weightier matters, you throw them aside. Love and mercy and judgment and justice, amen. All those things, they laid them. He said, you pay tithe of mint. They even tithed the mint that they grew. But I'll tell you what, they ain't one of them would give a poor family a turtle dove for nothing if they came to the temple that way. They were money racket. Oh my. You say, what are you saying, Brother Mark? I'm saying, listen, it's like the Jews claiming to know God. This is all about those whose hearts are changed. Being a disciple is being someone whose heart is changed. That's what it takes. Jesus said, if you don't exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, amen, you shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Why? Their righteousness was just on the outside. Amen? Outwardly there. Why did sepulchers, but within they're full of dead men's bones. Dead on the inside. No life on the inside. No real love for God on the inside. No love for Jesus above everything. Coming out of them. Talking about being a follower every day. Jesus said this. Listen, this is, we read this sometimes and we just kind of read over it. Why? Because we don't want to stare it in the eye too long. Because if you're truly a believer, you're going to have to do something about it. If you're not doing something about it, you'll have to. But if you're not, you'll go on and forget about this. You'll go on and forget about it. He said, for which of you intending? I'm about done. Verse 28, down through verse 33, he talked about two different types of people. One was someone who's going to build a tower or a castle. And the other one was a king that was going to make war against another king. Both of them, I'm going to use the tower builder. He was actually a house builder. That's what it interprets to. For which of you intending? A lot of people's got great intention. And that's as far as it goes. To build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost. Whether he have sufficient, which means whether you have in possession what you need to build it. You have to be in possession. How can I love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, mind, if I'm not in possession of that kind of love? You must be born again. This guy, after he laid the foundation, Jesus said, other foundation has no man laid than that which is laid. This guy was trying to lay a foundation. I think he got the ditch dug and maybe got his poles in, but he's got it laid out there. He ain't even started pouring. No foundation. He's not able to finish it. People come by and they see a big square dug in the dirt. He didn't have what he needed to finish, to be a house builder. To be a house builder. This man began to build, began to be a house builder, and was not able to finish. Verse 30. He began. He never actually built it. Not a one part of it. He come there with his tool belt on. He did not have what he needed to build it. He began to be a house builder. Listen, there are a lot of people today in churches, and there's a lot of people sitting at home. They began years ago, Brother Ronnie. And we ain't seen them since. They didn't even get started. But if you ask them to this day, oh yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Yeah, I know him. They've not put him first. They've not loved him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. Us that are here, always. Are you listening to me? It's work. It's labor to be a disciple. Now the salvation's free again. And thank God for God's grace, because I can't even labor without Him. I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. Amen. Thank God for His grace, His help. He said, if any man come after me, follow me. In verse 25, went out great multitudes with him, and he turned. Listen, if you're going to come after him, when he turns, you got to turn. I'm glad I'm with him. I'm walking with him. Because I've got to have his help. I don't want to get far from him, do you? As I get away from him, I can't live like a disciple away from him. You can't live like a disciple away from him. Amen. Are you born again? Are you saved? And if you're saved, are you coming after me, Jesus said? Be my disciple? Are you my disciple, Jesus said? Are you a follower every day? Listen, he said, take up your cross. You got to take up your cross. That's every day. Not just Sunday. and put it down. It's every day of the week, Brother John. Every day of the week. It's not for a week and then not for three. It's every week of every month, of every year. Taking up your cross daily. Follow me. I want you to stand.